Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Palm Sunday message comes to us from Palm Sunday Gospel lesson read at the very beginning of the service out of John chapter 12, and especially these words. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, the Palm Sunday event that we come together to celebrate today was one of the most significant of Jesus' earthly life. It's the final stage of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. It fulfills Luke's words in Luke 9, verse 53, that he had resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. These words are fulfilled in today's event. Jesus has arrived. The Palm Sunday event is so significant that it's one of the few things that all four of the gospel writers record. Yet, as we look at this entrance into Jerusalem, this parade of sorts, we need to see that it serves different purposes for the people waving palm branches along the streets than it does for God. They don't understand. The people waving palm branches hail Jesus as their king, but they had no idea what they were saying. It was God's will that Jesus be king on Palm Sunday. This was prophetic, told of in the Old Testament. But his idea of Jesus as a king and their idea of Jesus as king were very different. We have here in the Palm Sunday event a parade that is understood very differently from those participating, as opposed to God who had prophesied and foreordained it. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade has been around since 1924, and it was begun for two very different purposes as well. You see, the Macy's company had gone public in 1920, and they basically were buying out all their competitors. Well, they had gotten so large by 1924 that they were able to buy an entire block along 34th Street. And so in celebration of that, and to announce the store's opening, the, quote, largest store in the world at the time, they decided to hold a parade for the people of New York. Now, the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade wasn't what you see today. The whole parade was only about 2 blocks long, but the parade route was 6 miles long. So there was 2 blocks of a parade that went around all of New York City for 6 miles, ending, of course, right in front of Macy's brand new store. From the very beginning, the guest of honor in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade has been Santa Claus. And yes, at the first one, he was the main attraction. But there were others as well. The Central Park Zoo had lent some animals to be in the parade, even some bears, right? But what is said is that by the time they finished their 6-mile trek, the bears were so mad they were growling at everyone and scaring the children. It was the last Thanksgiving Day parade zoo animals were used in it. They were replaced by the now familiar giant balloons you see being held down by people, right? But Macy's company idea of the parade was, we're going to lead everybody in this giant celebration that ends right in front of our storefront, right? To announce its opening and to show them all the wares that will be available for the coming Christmas season. And sure enough, as they got to Macy's at that first Thanksgiving Day parade, they stopped in front and a giant curtain was dropped from the front of the window of the entire block so they could see everything that was there and on sale and buy it today. That was Macy's purpose for the parade. New York City's purpose for the parade was a family event to celebrate the beginning of the Christmas season. They had two very different purposes for this now famous, probably world famous, parade. So too did God and the people of Jerusalem. They had two very different purposes for this parade that you and I celebrate on Palm Sunday. The people of Jerusalem had one thing in mind as they welcomed Jesus. God had another. The people of Jerusalem were intending to welcome Jesus as their king, but a king who would relieve them of Roman oppression and Roman occupation. As they welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, everything about their manner, everything about their words suggests they were hailing one who was going to serve them as an earthly king. They cry out, "Hosanna," which is an Aramaic word which means "God saves us" or "save us." It had, in its time, become the cry, even the war cry, of the Zealot Party. "Hosanna, God will save us. And he will deliver us from the Romans who now occupy our holy city." So when they cry out to Jesus as he enters Jerusalem, you and I shouldn't be confused about this. We shouldn't believe, oh, they're finally recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. All those miracles have worked. Many in the crowd had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead, and they were there for that reason. But many in the crowd were also just there because finally their Messiah, their king, had come. Finally, Israel would be theirs. Finally, the Romans would be out of Jerusalem and would stop desecrating the temple with their very presence. So when you see this really wonderful event, this great Sunday we celebrate every year, and what these people in Israel, in Jerusalem were doing, don't be confused. They were not welcoming Jesus as the king who was going to save them for all eternity. They were welcoming Jesus the king who was going to give them back their land. So while this parade was of an earthly king for the people of Jerusalem, for God, it was something very different. By his will, by his prophecy, by his foreordaining it, really this parade is a parade of one to be sacrificed. Think about that. While the people of Jerusalem would crown him a king through power and might, God would crown his appointed king through death and sacrifice. God's purposes in the Palm Sunday parade were to appoint his son to be that sacrifice. Everything about this parade, from God's will and perspective, pointed forward to Good Friday. Pointed forward to the Lamb who would shed his blood for the people of God. Are you buying the argument? Maybe I should give you some evidence. This was Passover week, correct? The Passover would be celebrated later on in the week. You go back to Exodus 12 when the Passover is commanded. It is said that the Passover should be celebrated on the 14th of the month, and this will be the first month of the Jewish calendar. But it is also appointed by God that the lamb selected for each family's Passover would be set apart on the 10th of this month. Want to take a guess what day that is? It's today. The lamb is set apart today. God's purpose in this parade is the setting apart of the Lamb of God to be sacrificed at Passover. This is the 10th. This is the day of setting apart the Lamb. Jesus is that Lamb. More evidence that God sees in this Palm Sunday parade, a setting apart of one for sacrifice, is the animal upon which Jesus arrives. A donkey, and the important part of this is a donkey upon which no one had ever sat. Throughout the Old Testament, you could find reference after reference to animals that had never been yoked, that had never been sat upon, that are set apart for sacred purpose. So too for this donkey. No one had ever sat upon it because it's set apart for the sacred purpose of carrying the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. Even more telling is when you go to Samuel, and you read about the pulling of the Ark of the Covenant. You remember what the Ark of the Covenant was, right? The place of sacrifice, the mercy seat of God. It is said there in 1 Samuel 6 that two cows were selected to pull the Ark of the Covenant, the place of sacrifice, which had never been yoked or burdened before. Again and again in the events of Palm Sunday, we see that Christ is set apart as the Lamb of God. Finally, it was God's will that the people would welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, crying out Hosanna, even though they may not understand it. They're singing the Psalms of the Hallel, tied to the feasts of Jerusalem, right here, the Passover feast, welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, and they're singing the Psalms of Seder. They're the songs of sacrifice. They don't know what they're saying. They don't understand it. But God had willed that they would speak and sing this way because he would fulfill it through their words. That this would be the one, Hosanna, who would save them. This would indeed be the king who would come for them. They just didn't understand what kind of king. Jesus would show them. God would show them what kind of king. Because on Friday of this week, the sacrifice prophesied of old and again highlighted here in Palm Sunday would take place. And it would take place upon a cross. And on the top of that cross would be put the title of who this was that was dying here, King of the Jews. Jesus reigns in our lives, not primarily through power and might. And we should be grateful that it is so. Because he reigns through grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Won for us by the Lamb come to die. Jesus himself. If God reigned in our lives primarily through power and might, we would all be in trouble. Because power and might suggests justice. And justice for us, according to our sins, is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. But God, in his omniscience, in his mercy and grace, chooses from all eternity to reign as our king, not through power and might, but through love and sacrifice. Through the death of his son on a cross. He chooses to be your king, not merely by right, which is his, of who he is as King Almighty Creator, but chooses to be your king by love, by sacrifice, and through the forgiveness of sins. He chooses to operate in your lives through the means of grace. This is no denial that Jesus and God is all-powerful and almighty. That he is indeed king of the universe, king over all creation. But it's a recognition that he himself, who is that, chooses to operate in our lives in a different manner. Not merely demanding our homage, but instilling thankfulness in us and instilling worship in our lives as we respond to the sacrifice that Christ made. We come together, we sing Hosannas. And weren't the kids wonderful? Wasn't that great? The antiphonal the kids did, that was wonderful. We sing these Hosannas, and they're not lost on us like they were on the people of Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem sing them not knowing what they're saying. You and I know. By God's grace, we know that when we sing Hosanna, we're singing of the one who does save, and saves through cross and resurrection. Then we sing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's blessed because he's come to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. Today is a foretaste of the week to come. Right? And the week to come is Maundy Thursday when we receive the grace given in the Lord's Supper. The week to come is the somber reflection of Good Friday when we look upon the sacrifice made. And the week to come is the culmination of celebration as we gather before his throne and celebrate he who is risen to give us eternal life. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.